Should we do it again? Do we get enough? We'll do it again?
Just kidding.
Hallelujah, man. Listen, man, I've got 29 minutes to teach an hour and a half. That's true. All right. Well, Lord, you know what needs to be said tonight. And so I just submit all of these notes to you tonight, all 58 pages of them. Lord, and I just ask that you would take the words from my mouth and put it in our ears just the way you would have it by your Holy Spirit. Teach us, anoint us, compel us, God, with your word. And I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So in his farewell speech to the leaders, Joshua emphasized this, the truth that he would be with us forever. God will be with us forever. I just keep going back to Joshua chapter 1 and verse, actually the first like 9 or 10 verses of Joshua chapter 1. It's repeated in there over and over and over about don't fear, don't be dismayed, be strong, be of good courage. And he's just trying to instill in Joshua, listen, I'm going to be with you. Have courage. Listen, John Wayne said it this way. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Amen? John Wayne said it perfectly. Because listen, sometimes stepping out in faith for the Lord is a scary proposition. It can be to some degree a fearful thing. But listen, the love of the Lord casts out all fear, right? That's what His Word says. So Joshua reminds them that the warnings would be fulfilled as well as the promises, and that he cautioned all of them to obey the Lord in all things. And Solomon especially emphasized one promise that God gave the patriarchs and repeated often in Jewish history, that the Lord would not leave His people nor forsake them. Let me tell you something, folks. That's a promise. That's a promise. Ron? He's promised you some things. And He's still your provider. And I cannot wait to see what God's about to do in your life. I can't wait. He said He'll not leave you nor forsake you. That's His word. You can stand on that promise. It's a promise from God. God was with Abraham all during his life. He promised to be with Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. He promised to be with Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. He renews the promise to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and again in chapter 33. Moses repeats it to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He repeats the same promise. The Lord Himself gave the promise to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Chapter 3 and 7. Chapter 6 and 27. The encouragement goes on and on and on. He gave it to Gideon in Judges chapter 6. The prophet Samuel repeated it to the nation. David encouraged Solomon with the same promise when he appointed him to build the temple. And after the days of Solomon, the prophet Isaiah repeated the promise and gave comfort to the Jewish people who would experience Babylonian captivity. Can I just tell you something? Even when they were in Babylonian captivity, the Lord did not forsake them. He did not leave them. He was with them all the time. In your darkest day, in your darkest hour, let me tell you something. God is right there. God is right there. When you're fighting against the politics of the city, and you find yourself literally in a place of despair. God, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, just like that, it's all handled. It's all taken care of. And we've been fretting, losing sleep. getting belly aches the whole deal over something that was completely out of our control and completely in the control of the Lord. And He had it all worked out. And you know what I think He's doing? I think He's just telling all of us, you know what? I got this. If you'll just let me. Church? Hello? After the days of Solomon, the prophet Isaiah repeated the promise and gave comfort to the Jewish people in Babylonian captivity. The Lord uses it to encourage Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. And how would you like to go through your entire ministry and not really see any fruit following it? That poor guy did, but he never detoured from what God had called him to. He never changed he just went after it. Jesus gave the disciples the same encouragement before He ascended to the Father in Matthew chapter 28. The church today, this church, the church is as a whole, can claim the promise just as the believers did long ago, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, which says this: let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ever. That's what He said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It gives me a great deal of joy to know that that in the days of old, the men of God couldn't go into the temple because the presence of the Lord. But now He lives in us by His Holy Spirit. We are the tabernacle. We are the tent of dwelling for the Holy Ghost of God. Think about that just for a moment, folks. He lives in you. He can't get any closer than that. So God's blessing for true worshipers, that's what we've been talking about, God's blessings for true worshipers. And the third thing I want to look at is the blessing that He blesses His people with, an abundance of blessings, especially with peace. As a parent, as a parent, you're not a parent yet, so you'll get this later, okay? Write this down, you'll get it later. There's no greater joy than to be, for me as a parent, a blessing to my children. Regardless of how old they are, to be able to bless my children, I don't know of much greater joy than to be able to be a blessing to my children. Now just think about it for a moment. The Bible says that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much better? Hello. How much better is God at blessing us? Listen to this. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 24 through 26, it says, "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season, and they shall be showers of blessing." Ooh. Hey, happy anniversary. They made me cry in here, and you weren't here to support me. Got a nice little card right up here. They love us. They love us right here. Amen. And I love you. So there. And I'm unplugging their trailer house when we get home. I'm unplugging their trailer house for making a big deal about this and making me cry. It was her. You can sleep in the house. uh,
We got to sanctify this meeting again here. Glory to God.
Verse 26 is talking about the amount, or the mount rather, of the house of God of Jacob in Jerusalem, from which the blessings will flow, and the whole earth will flow to the whole earth during the eternal reign of the Messiah. Talking about showers of blessings. We're talking about God pouring out. The whole church, the whole earth will be fertile, and it will produce abundantly in its season as God originally intended when he created it. This earth was fruitful. I mean, it produced all kinds of stuff, and it will again. Even the desert, the desert will even blossom as a rose, and water will spring forth in the wilderness, and there will be showers of blessing for all men. Showers of blessing. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. See what God has done. Amen. So, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 says this: Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know what a plowshare is? Anybody know what a plowshare is? I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher. I've raised lots of stuff. I knew I could count on Dennis. Dennis, you're going to be pulling the plow, all right? The plowshare. Do you know what a plowshare is, Bob? Pardon me? No, the plowshare. It says to beat our swords into plowshares. If you've ever plowed with a plow, right on the very tip of the plow where it enters the ground, there's a hard piece of metal right there, and that's what initially breaks the surface of the ground, and the plow plunges underneath, and there's a plate there that it rides on so that they only go so deep. But that pointed part, that's the plowshare. That's the plowshare. So it says to beat your swords into plowshares. God gives Isaiah the gift of the prophetic, the prophecy, to the ability to see into the future, which is what prophecy is speaking about things that are yet to come that we can't see except for in the spiritual realm, when the prophet it sees it or hears it about it from God. And so God gives Isaiah this gift to see into the future. And at that time, God shows Isaiah what would eventually happen to Jerusalem. And in Revelation chapter 21, it depicts the glorious fulfillment of this prophecy in the New Jerusalem, where only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be allowed to enter. So we got to ask ourselves, is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's an important little tidbit right there. We need to know that our name is written down. God makes this covenant or promise with His people, and He will not break it. See, God's faithfulness gives us hope for the future. How many of you have ever broken a promise? How many of you know this? God will never break a promise. God will never break His promises to you. We have a hope in the future. We have a hope in glory. We have a hope that one day that eastern sky is going to split. Jesus is going to step out on a cloud. He's not coming to the earth. He's just going to step out on a cloud. And the dead in Christ are going to be caught up out of the ground first, and then we're going to go meet them in the air. Amen? Oh, that's going to be a fun time, isn't it? It ain't going to last very long, but it's going to be really, really fun. Just, I don't know if we'll get to see some of the chaos that goes on down here when it's going to be good. People are going to be like, man, I knew that day was coming. Know that you know. The fourth thing I want for us to look at is God's blessing on true worshipers is to impart, and I love this, to impart an abundance of joy. An abundance of joy. Psalm chapter 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said that. Going to God's house can either be a chore or a delight. Going to God's house can be a chore or a delight. And for the writer of this psalm, it was a delight. It was absolutely a delight. As a pilgrim attending one of the three great religious festivals, he rejoiced to worship with God's people in God's house. We might find worship a chore if we have unconfessed sin or if our love for God has cooled. But if we're close to God, if we enjoy His presence, we will be eager to worship and to praise Him. Amen? I don't know about the rest of you, but I really like to worship the Lord. I like to just worship the Lord. I've got a lot to thank Him for. Amen? I mean, just look around us. I saw, I was sitting in my house yesterday at my table, and I was thumbing through one of my old Bibles, and I write stuff in my Bible a lot. And all the things that were in there that I have written about through the years, about joy and about those kinds of things, when you begin to read them, your mind goes back and I begin to rejoice at just the things that I had written in my Bible, because it renews our hope. It shows us that God was speaking to us then, He's speaking to us now, and I got news for you, He's going to speak to us tomorrow. Our attitude toward God will determine our view of worship. Think about that. Our attitude toward God will determine our view of worship. If you have a mad on for God, if you're upset at God, if you're bent out of shape because He didn't answer your prayer the way you thought He should have, how many of you know that's going to cause you some problems in worship? Let us go in this verse. When you first read it, it sounds a little tame to me. Let us go. It almost sounds like it could be an invitation to a tea party or something. A better translation is, we will go. That's much more of a declaration. I'm declaring some things. When you're having a bad day, when things aren't going right, we will go to the house of the Lord. Begins to do something in your spirit that begins to energize you and build you up and get you ready for your time of worship. Whether it's an invitation to someone living far from Jerusalem or to David living in Jerusalem, the statement expressed determination and dedication. We will go. I'm determined to go. So after the tent had been set up and the ark was placed in it, no doubt David frequently went to worship God. David's love for God's house was well known. He rejoiced at an opportunity to go with other worshipers and praise the Lord. How many of you know it's just fun sometimes to just worship amongst a bunch of people? I remember when I went to a men's retreat up the Santa Am to Camp Tadmore. Do you know where Camp Tadmore is, Bob? It's a Baptist camp. Camp Tadmore is a Bible camp, a Baptist Bible camp. And I went to a men's retreat there, and there was about 3,000 men in that place. And at one point during the service, the music all stopped. And the men just were praising God. And I'm telling you what, in a Baptist men's camp, the Holy Ghost showed up, and it was incredible. Absolutely phenomenal, the presence of God. Now, He can do that for one person, but I just think there was something about all of those voices, a cappella, singing and praising God in that place, and he just couldn't help but come and show up and just be right in the middle of a bunch of Baptist boys. I loved it. I look for that to happen right here. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, it says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." See, Jesus doesn't call Christians to a dull existence of being hated by the world, obeying commands, and waiting to go to heaven. That's not what we've been called here to do. I don't know about your experience with the Lord, but mine's been anything but dull. Would you say yours has been a little lively, Bob? Certainly isn't dull. I remember one time in Coos Bay when a girl came to the altar and wanted prayer, and she had this little crystal bag deal tied around her neck and a leather strap tied around there. And our pastor he was a man of God, and I love that guy. And he saw that thing, and he just, something welled up in him. Well, I know it wasn't just something. It was the Holy Spirit. And he reached down, and he grabbed that necklace, and he went, pow, and he just ripped it right off. And, buddy, it was on. That thing represented the dark side of the spiritual realm like none other. And when he ripped that thing off of her neck, they all came alive. I mean, you want to talk about the demonic manifesting? It happened that night right there. It was an incredible moment. I'll never forget it. It has, my Christian walk has not been dull. Amen? It has not been dull. If your Christian walk, let me just put this out there. If your Christian walk is dull, it's because you're not walking with Jesus. It's because you're not walking with Jesus. Jesus doesn't call us to some dull existence of being hated by the world. If the world hates you, it's because they hated Him first. He offers us the fullness of joy. Nothing else in the whole world can bring the joy that we find in serving and abiding in and obeying Christ. I don't give a rip what you do. Nothing will be as satisfying as serving the Lord and abiding in Him and doing what He says to do. Nothing, bar none. When things are going well, we feel elated. When hardships come, we sink into depression. But true joy transcends the rolling waves of circumstance. Hello. And the sound system probably didn't like that. I don't care. True joy. How many of our lives go like this sometimes. Actually, that's the way we need to be going. It transcends the rolling waves of circumstance. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus. When our lives are really and truly intertwined with His, He's going to help us walk through adversity without sinking into debilitating lows and manage prosperity without moving into deceptive highs. How many people have we seen? We probably don't know many of them, but we've seen multiple people that have won these Mega Millions on the lottery and jackpots and different things like that, and have won, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and instead of it bringing such fulfillment in their lives, it literally destroys their lives. They divorce, they do that, and in most cases, within 3 years, they're broke. We need to be consistent. We need to manage our prosperity without moving into deceptive highs. Listen to this, and I'm going to close with this. The joy of living with Jesus Christ daily will keep us level-headed. Level-headed. No matter how high or how low our circumstances. Paul said it this way. I know what it means to be abased. I know what it means to have an abundance. I know what it means to be poor. But I've learned that to be content with whatever I have. How we could grow. You want to say something? Contentment is nothing that the world wants for us to walk in. The world is absolutely, especially the marketers, are completely against contentment. I mean, you got a TV this big and it's got speakers all the way around it and this and that and the other thing, but man, wait till next year. That thing is going to look like a Super 8 movie projector. Because this stuff that's when electronics roll off of the assembly line, they're already obsolete. There's stuff coming on the other end that's already way better. We got to learn, church, how to be content. Amen. Oh boy, I'm going to stop right there because it's 7 o'clock and. It's good that I stop. Okay, all right. I'm just teasing you. It's a good place. I've even stopped at a place where I've determined to stop at for once. So that's a miracle in itself. Hey, thank you. Well, we've got people in the parking lot that are waiting for other people, so. And I'm determined to try and keep our Wednesday night to an hour because school's coming, people have to work and so forth. Anyway, yes, ma'am. Right. Yeah. Amen. Because He's mindful of you. He loves you. He loves you. I'm not kidding you. I've been trying to tell you. He loves you. He's slap crazy about you. No, He's not ever. Not ever. See, let me tell you what that is. That's stinking thinking. He ain't never... Listen, if he was going to give up on somebody, it'd be me. I promise you, I've given him plenty of opportunity and reason to give up on. He never has. Not one time. So, well. Yeah, and he loves you back. And he showed you today that he'll grant you the desires of your heart. He'll answer your prayers. We're going to get into this prayer stuff here next week, maybe. We'll see. I ain't promising nothing. Thank you guys for your love for me and my little wifey. 33 years she's been putting up with me. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, we're just going to move on. Father, see, this is where I have to be reverent and pray to God and not, you know. Father, we love you tonight, and it's good to be able to just laugh and have fun in church. But God, when it comes right down to it, there's nothing greater than your presence. There's nothing better than having you show up and minister to us by your Spirit. Maybe to just feel your warm embrace. Maybe just to know that the reality of an answered prayer. That prayer that I prayed in faith, you answered that prayer. You met my need. You made a way where there seemed to be no way. You've brought joy when, according to every other standard, I should be in despair. But because of your love for me, I am in joy. I have joy. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this night. I thank you for our time together. And I just pray that you watch over each one of us. I pray for the ladies tomorrow in the morning at the women's meeting. I pray for the men's retreat coming up this weekend. I pray for a men's group on Friday night. God, I pray for Saturday. I pray, Lord, that you would prepare your people on that day for what you're going to do on Sunday. May we just spend some time with you, Lord, in preparation for all you're going to do on Sunday in this place. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you.